Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. Great to see you all here. A very special welcome to anyone who is visiting with us today. If you live in the area and you're looking for a church to call your very own home, we'd love to have you join us here at Atonement. Just speak to me and we'll make sure that happens soon. As always, when we gather for worship, the sacrament of Holy Communion is offered as a central part, and all of you are invited to come and have your faith fed and refreshed through the gifts God gives us at His table today. Our midweek Advent services will continue. We gather on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Our theme this year is God with us, and the topic this coming Wednesday is God with us, our shepherd. So do come and join us for that. As always, we feature Holden Evening Prayer, a very beautiful service for that. So do come and join us. I don't suppose you could miss the Christmas tree that's out there in the narthex as you walk in. Isn't it beautiful? So this is the 43rd Christmas tree that Shannon has gotten for us back there. Thank you, Shannon. He told me he's shooting for at least 50. So. And it also came from Norman Barker's property, so please give when you have a chance, thank Norman Barker for his donation of the tree. We appreciate it very much. Anything else need to be announced this morning? There's a number of things you can read about on the Words of the Week. Rick, what do you got to say?
I forgot to put announcements in our various places, but a week from today, next Sunday at 2 o'clock, everyone is invited to go on a caroling party.
Caroling party.
We'll meet in the narthex, 2 o'clock next Sunday. Plan on 2 hours or less. We'll visit a couple, three places and share the music of Atonement with the community.
Are we going to Nana's? I was just wondering. Yes.
So the Newport High School winter concert is this Thursday at 7 at the high school this year in the East Gym, not at the Pack.
Oh, okay. So say that again.
This Thursday at 7.
Thursday night at 7 o'clock at the high school.
Yes.
The winter concert. Always a fun event. So mark your calendars and get there to see it. Thank you so much for reminding us of that. All right, let's stand for the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. I will hear what the Lord God has to say, a voice that speaks for peace. Peace for all faithful people and those who turn to Him in their hearts. God's help is near to those who fear Him, that His glory may dwell in our land. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. We light our second Advent candle this morning and we sing 2 verses of the Advent candles. Israel, who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior who comes to show mercy and grace, the dawn from on high who guides us into peace.
Amen.
Let us come before God in confession. To you, O God, we lift up our souls.
You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins, but remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways, teach us your paths, and lead us in justice and truth for the sake of your goodness, in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
In the advent of Christ, the dawn from on high breaks upon us with light and healing. Through Jesus Christ, God looks with favor upon you and forgives you all your sins.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Our hymn of hope is number 264. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, boys.
I know you're awake. I saw you eating cookies earlier. So we have two candles lit today. Before we do that, stand up here, Lily. Show them what you have on your head. Now, Show its magical powers. Okay. That's just more than a little scary to me. So we have two candles lit today. So we're on the second Sunday of Advent. What does that mean? How much longer till Christmas?
Two more
candles, 2 more weeks. So we're looking at, what, 14, 15, 16 days, somewhere in there. So my question is, are you ready for Christmas?
Yeah. We don't have all our ornaments.
So I hear people ask that question all the time. Are you ready for Christmas? What do they mean when they ask that question? Are you ready for Santa to come? And what do you got to do to get ready for Santa to come?
You got to sleep,
yeah. Okay. So what do you got to do to get ready for Christmas that's coming? You said something about ornaments. So you got to decorate a tree, right? First, you got to get a tree, like we did yesterday for this one. And then you got to decorate it, like we did this morning.
It's your tree.
What else do you do? What else do you got to do to get ready for Christmas? You can put up decorations on your house. A lot of people put up decorations on their house. What do people send in the mail sometimes? Christmas cards. Do you have your Christmas cards ready? I saw you making some out there. You're getting ready. That's good. Did you make some too? Good. So you got to make Christmas cards, and sometimes people write a letter to go inside. So that's a lot to do. What else you got to do to get ready for Christmas? Huh?
Put the lights up.
What?
Shop for gifts.
Y'all, there's a lot of shopping involved. Yeah. With a lot of crabby people. Christmas shopping. What else you got to do?
Eat cookies.
Make cookies.
Eat them.
I know you got to eat them, yeah. First you got to make them. First somebody's got to make them so Pete can eat them. I ate so many cookies this morning. I'm exhausted. I didn't know eating cookies could be so tiring.
It's not tiring.
Anything else you can think of?
Golden sugar.
It's coming to church. Wednesday night services, Sunday morning services, Christmas Eve services. Lots and lots of church, which is a good thing, right?
And make food.
Make the food. Christmas dinner. Wow, that's a big thing, isn't it? So there is a ton of, and then you got to clean the house in case company's coming. You got to straighten up your bedrooms, right? Is all this stuff making you tired? Making me tired too. So that's what we have to do to get ready for Christmas. John the Baptist is in our reading today, and he's trying to get people to get ready for Jesus coming. But he doesn't care about Christmas dinners or Christmas cards or trees or lights or presents. He wants us to get our hearts ready for Christmas, not our homes ready for Christmas. So how do you get your hearts ready for Christmas?
By loving and caring.
By loving and caring. Perfect.
And spending time with family.
Spending time with family. Especially your church family, right? Christmas is not about the presents. So Christmas, Santa is a cool part of Christmas, but Christmas is not about Santa.
No, it's about friends and family.
It's about Jesus, right? So the best way to get our hearts ready for Christmas is to remember, as cool as all the other stuff is, and I like it too, I'm not knocking any of it, but the best part of Christmas is the gift that God gives us in Jesus, right? And so we get our hearts prepared for Christmas by remembering that Jesus is the reason for the season, not Santa, right? Yep.
But it's kind of like a gift from God.
He's a gift from God. That's a perfect way to end. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for the great gift you have given us in Jesus our Lord. We thank you for your love, for your forgiveness, for your mercy, for your grace, for so many things that you give to us. Help us to celebrate that again this year as we celebrate the birth of Jesus among us. Help us to have a great and joyous season together. Bless these children today and always, and keep them in your care. Amen. You guys can go to Sunday school.
First lesson is from the book of Malachi, starting with the third chapter, first verse. The Lord announces a covenant with Israel. A messenger, like Malachi, his name means my messenger, shall prepare the way for the coming of the Lord by purifying and refining God's people as silver and gold are refined. Hear now the word. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is actually from the book of Luke, starting with the first chapter, the 68th verse. It can be found on page 3 in your bulletin, and we'll read it responsively. I will read the light print. Blessing be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably upon his people and redeemed them.
He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David.
As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old,
that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us.
Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant.
The oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days.
And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins.
By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break on us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
The second lesson is from the first chapter of Philippians, starting with the third verse. The Apostle Paul was the pastor of many new churches. He writes in his letter about his joy to be in partnership with the Christians at Philippi. Listen to how tender-hearted Paul, sometimes a stern preacher, is with his friends as he encourages them to grow in love and knowledge. Hear now the word. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
He came down that we may have love. He came down that we
Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. 77 years ago this week, people flocked to their churches on Sunday morning. Their thoughts, like ours, were probably on Christmas. They, like us, were no doubt impatient to begin the festivities. On that Sunday, perhaps they too had to listen to the words of John the Baptist, and perhaps their response was much like what I hear people say in these days. We don't want Advent, we want Christmas. We don't want Advent carols sung in a minor key, we want the joyful, upbeat carols of Christmas. We don't want John the Baptist, we want the baby Jesus. We don't want bleak and barren images of wilderness. We want Christmas trees, wrapping paper and bows, and angels and shepherds. Well, wilderness was what they got. As those people left their churches that day, the news that awaited them was terrible news. Dark wilderness news. Pearl Harbor had been bombed, and war was at hand. A time of deep, deep darkness had indeed come upon them, and their lives would never be the same again. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Those words recorded in the Gospel of Luke this morning come to us first from the prophet Isaiah and from another time of terrible wilderness. Isaiah's people, too, had found themselves at war as the mighty Babylonian army had swept over them like a flood. Many who weren't killed outright in the appalling devastation were carried off into captivity in Babylon. There in the wilderness that was Babylon, the people of God fell into despair. They were tormented by their captors who reveled in taunting those they had defeated. Their wilderness experience is captured vividly in the words of Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. There we hung up our hearts, for our captors called to us mockingly, saying, "Sing to us," they cried. "Sing to us one of the songs of Zion." But how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How could we sing the Lord's song in the wilderness of defeat? The only song that came to the lips of God's people was a mournful song of lament, a song of hopelessness and despair. That song, also found in Psalm 137, was this: "The Lord has forgotten us." The Lord has forgotten us. What dreadful words those are. And yet that is the state of mind that times of wilderness bring. Wilderness is a place where chaos seems to reign, a place where our minds become fogged and bewildered, a place where we forget how to sing the Lord's song, and the only refrain that comes to our lips is that lament, "The Lord has forgotten us." But God had not forgotten his people. It was exactly to these despondent and despairing people that God sent the prophet Isaiah. And God sent Isaiah with words of comfort and hope. Isaiah came to teach them to sing the Lord's song once again, and this is what Isaiah said to them. "Comfort, O comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sin. A voice cries out, 'In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the highway a desert for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.' The Lord will come, and he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." Isaiah came to those wilderness people, and he sang to them a song of deliverance and salvation. He proclaimed to them that God would not leave his people in their wilderness, bewilderment, and despair, but that God himself would come to save them and lead them home on a superhighway of his own construction. Prepare the way of the Lord. 600 years later, the song of Isaiah became the song of John, son of Zechariah. This prophet arose in the wilderness, singing a song about a new saving event of God. The people he spoke to were no less in a time of wilderness. These people were oppressed by Rome, represented in our reading by the Emperor Tiberius and the Governor Pontius Pilate. They were oppressed by their own king, the wicked King Herod. They were even oppressed by their religion, a system of do's and don'ts, of rules and regulations led by Annas and Caiaphas. These religious standards were so strict, so rigid, that few people ever felt like they could measure up to God's standards. So their God never seemed farther away from them, and they too were in danger of forgetting how to sing the Lord's song. But again, God had not forgotten his people. God sent his word to John in the wilderness, and John came proclaiming the advent, the coming of the kingdom of God. John came singing that old, old song of deliverance, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And when the people heard that song, their hopes were stirred, and once again they dared to believe that God would come to save them. Prepare the way of the Lord. The song of Isaiah, which became the song of John the Baptist, is now our song too. For we too are a people languishing in a wilderness. We too are a people who have lost our way and are in danger of forgetting how to sing the Lord's song. We wilderness people have bowed for too long to gods of our own devising. We have for too long trusted only in ourselves, in our wisdom, in our achievements, in our piety, and we have looked for them to save us. We have for too long filled our lives with shiny things and have believed that it is in them that we find our security. And we've been in this wilderness for so long, that we've begun to call it home. And we have lost the Lord's song. We have lost the vision of who our God made us and called us to be. The world we live in continues to be a terrible wilderness, as our newspapers and newscasts make clear every day. It's a wilderness where warfare, oppression, and unspeakable violence characterize everyday life for thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It's a wilderness where millions of people, mostly children, live on the brink of starvation. It's a wilderness where thousands of people in our own wealthy nation live and die in the streets without a warm bed or a warm meal to welcome them. It's a wilderness where every other day in our great nation, it seems we are subjected to another mass shooting. And of course, this wilderness has a way of finding its way into all of our lives as we live in this broken world. It has a way of bringing chaos and bewilderment to all of us and threatens to snuff out the Lord's song in our hearts. Perhaps even today, some of you here or someone you love is enduring such a time of wilderness, a wilderness of ill health, a wilderness of worry or fear, a wilderness of doubt or despair, a wilderness of grief or loss. Perhaps right now, God never seemed farther from you, and the only song you can sing is that song of lament, God has forgotten me. Well, my brothers and sisters, the good news of this Advent season and the good news of our Christian faith is that God has not forgotten you, and God never will. God will not leave you in your wilderness place or your darkness. The message of Advent is that God is coming to rescue us, redeem us, restore us, and save us, and make us his own. God is coming to teach us again to sing the Lord's song, his song of deliverance, hope, and salvation. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, for all people shall see the salvation of God. Because our God has come to us, born as a babe in Bethlehem, born to die on a cross to save us, born to rise again to rescue us from the grip of death, our songs can be ones of peace and hope and joy. Because God has come to us in the waters of our baptism, we can sing of our rebirth and know that we have been set on the path that leads us toward home. Because our God comes to us in the holy meal spread before us this morning, we can taste of his love and experience the gifts of refreshment, renewal, and life, even as we live in this wilderness place. Today and every day, the Advent good news is this: God is coming to us and for us. He's coming in power and might to save us and make us his own. He's coming in love to heal and to forgive. He's coming to teach us to sing once more his song of deliverance, that through our uplifted voices, all the people of the earth may hear the good news of his grace, mercy, and love. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, for he is coming for you. And when he comes, you will behold your salvation. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Please stand as we sing together number 249, On Jordan's Banks, the Baptist Cry.
On Jordan's banks, the Baptist cry.
affirmation of faith that you'll find printed on page 4 in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus the Word made flesh to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
As we await the coming of Christ, we pray and hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. Prepare your church to share the good news, life-giving God. Put your word within us and dwell among us. Send us out to proclaim the mercy and salvation that abides in you. Hear us, O God. Protect the creation, life-giving God. Sustain the mountains and hills. Restore the rivers. Give us wisdom and compassion to care for wilderness areas and urban ecosystems. Move us to care for your creation in all its forms and richness. Hear us, O God. Purify the hearts of all people, life-giving God. Remove the hate that lives within us and among us. Mold us into peacemakers. Raise up leaders rooted in your love and fed by your word. Hear us, O God. Comfort all who hurt, life-giving God. Wrap them in your tender care. Remember the forgotten and send us out to share your love with them. Be with the wandering, the worried, and the woeful. Hear us, O God. Bless this congregation, life-giving God. Give strength and joy to worship leaders, musicians, and our altar guild as they prepare the way for the celebration of the Christ child's coming. Hear us, O God. We remember the generations who have shown us your faithfulness, life-giving God. Shine your light on those who mourn and prepare us for the day when we will see you face to face. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Move powerfully, O God, in the lives of all who are broken this day, in body, in mind, or in spirit. We especially remember in our prayers today Kevin Lent, Sarah Snyder, Ann Swinehart, Judy Whitlatch, Laura Cusick, Lynn Clark, Pam Archer, Allie Phelps, Raymond Duarte, John Stern, Judy Hitland, Shannon White, Ed Lord, Susan Painter, David and Donna Bowman, Keith and Kathy Swenson. Come to these and to all who are broken, O God, and fill them with your gifts of healing and wholeness, with your presence and your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear now the prayers of these your children, O God, whether we speak those prayers to you aloud or whisper them to you in the silence of our heart. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring you these prayers, O God, and those which are left unspoken, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Share that peace with your brothers and sisters. Thank you. Our service will continue now with the offering. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promises to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The sacrament will be received today by intinction. You will come forward and receive a wafer, which you can then dip into either the wine in the large chalice or the grape juice in the small. I also have gluten-free wafers available. If you have need of those, let me know when you come forward. God fills the hungry with good things. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. How do you Christ do?
Thank you. blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you always in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy One, we give you thanks that in this bread and cup we have feasted again on your endless love. Let that love overflow more and more in our lives, that we may be messengers to prepare your way, harvesters of justice and righteousness, and bearers of your eternal word, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. May God direct your ways in peace, make you abound in love for one another and for all, and strengthen your hearts until the coming of our Lord Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Our sending hymn is number 593.
Christ is with you. Thanks be to God.